That happens. Is happening. It's happening now. That happens is a thing that happens right now, because what just happened hasn't happened quite yet. That happens is the best podcast you'll get. Hi, I'm Jeff B. Davis. Did I just improvise the world's greatest podcast theme song? I think I did.
Yeah.
Think I fucking did. It's not just Jeff B. Davis. More importantly, we have Spencer Anastasia Crittenden, the game master extraordinaire. He's going to be talking about stuff. He's going to be mastering your games. How are you doing, Spencer?
I'm good, and I'm glad you called out that I'm more important than you, because at the end of the day, that's what counts, is our relative levels of importance. I'm number one on the call sheet, as we all know. Kevin, who's our producer, he prints out the call sheets, so...
Your parking space is closer to the Zoom than mine is. I have to walk farther to Zoom. You do. Yeah. Bullshit. But then again, it's merited.
Mm-hmm.
The Peabody Award-winning showrunner on Harmon Quest, if I'm not mistaken.
And
Your series of children's books are sweeping Barnes & Noble's Junior section.
Not just Peabody, but P-Brain Award, which I think is the more prestigious prize, you know?
I won the Pulitzer Award.
What?
Oh, I had a lot of caffeine this morning.
What's Pulitzer a pun on? Oh, Pulitzer. Okay, got that. Yeah, got that.
And poo.
Yeah.
It works on a lot of levels, Spencer.
Just like coffee.
Spencer, we have a new podcast. I'm pretty excited about it. And I think what we're about to do is save the world one podcast episode at a time.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking we save the world by freaking, here's a podcast premise. What if we're trying to go to the moon? That could be interesting.
What if we adopt that premise, but then drop it after three episodes and never really return to it?
Well, I was just thinking that, you know, we could really dive in deep to it, and we just, you know, we get a rocket builder on board, like first episode, and, you know, send them off to draft, drawing up a draft of a rocket. Is that something that happens? You know, really just, you know, prove it, that it's doable.
Well, they found water on the moon now, so apparently we have to bring our swim trunks.
Damn, they should make swimsuits, or like astronaut suits that are swimsuit ones, you know, swimsuit versions.
Right. That they can sustain your junk in zero gravity, or 1/6 Earth's gravity, whatever it is.
Yeah, you gotta have that inner mesh.
Here's the problem with them finding water on the moon, Spencer, is that now if I go inhabit the moon, do I have to work on my beach body?
I think it's like a moon body, you know? It's a whole different kind of body that you'll be working on.
Because I'm kind of getting that COVID beer belly, because I'm mostly subsisting on beer right now during the COVID crisis. And I don't gain weight anywhere else except in my face and in my paunch. I got a little beer belly. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that zero gravity is going to help that. I'll just be kind of jiggly and floaty, like some sort of weird, like, aspic.
Well, I think it could be good, you know, like in those cartoons where you suck in your gut and then it goes up to your chest and then you have like this big, you know, bulky chest. In space, that might happen naturally.
I guess there's only one way to find out.
We got to go to the moon.
We have to ride in one of like Richard Branson's douchebag mobiles, or because didn't they all die? Like, no one's died yet, apparently. Or did a couple people die?
I don't know, but I know a guy who knows one of the people involved in SpaceX. So that you know, there's a association there that we might be able to leverage.
I saw some of the SpaceX prototype astronaut suits, mm-hmm. and they're, I think, needlessly sexy. They kind of cross over into what I guess I would consider my own latex fetish, because you kind of look like Halle Berry from Catwoman, which is great. Mm-hmm. But then how are you going to get your job done in space if you're just constantly turned on and bursting through your latex SpaceX?
Yeah, they really ask the question, like, can spacesuits look like that? Does this function? Because, you know, every other spacesuit has looked so different that it's like, this can't work, can it?
Yeah, and they have the word sex in their name. SpaceX, that's kind of a... I'm already turned on. What were they saying like a long time ago? Like someone on Twitter had a great joke. They were talking about sending astronauts to Mars, and that the The idea would be that they should only send women astronauts because that way people wouldn't be tempted to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And every lesbian I know fucking died laughing. It's like, yeah, there's no way the women wouldn't get it on automatically.
Yeah.
But I think the deal was they wouldn't be creating space babies and, you know, all, morning sickness and all that jazz.
Well, I think they'd get shit done. You know, they wouldn't be ruined by their desire to have sex. It's not like they wouldn't have it, but it wouldn't destroy the foundations of space society necessarily.
Do you think you and I, Spencer, let's say you and I were contracted to be the first two people to go to Mars, and it was a 2-year mission. How long do you think before you and I are just straight up banging?
I don't know, man. I, you know,
how long did you last?
I could last, you know, I've lasted longer than I even feel comfortable talking about, you know, without too much of a problem. So I think I'm good, but you know, like you realize that you have incredibly sexy armpits. So, you know, I'd be tempted to go to town, you know, pretty soon.
And they say that in space, no one can hear you cream. We'll be right back after this ad. Spencer, off of that terrible joke, is it too early? We are just starting this, and you and I have talked about the idea of us playing D&D together, where you are the dungeon master and I'm basically the only character to begin with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we have guests later on, or you play NPCs or whatnot.
Yeah.
But I just asked people like 10, 15 minutes ago to give me suggestions for my character, a race, class situation. Do we want to go through this right now, or what do you think?
I think it's too early, but I think this is a special moment in podcasting where I think it might be okay to get into it too early. Does that make sense?
Anyway, we can just tease it. We can just let people know that you and I are going to talk about other things for a while, but eventually I'm going to call through all of the suggestions. There's lots of words I've heard. I'm not familiar with what a tiefling is. What the fuck is a tiefling?
It's kind of like a demon kind of hybrid person. They often have dark complected skin, like red skin or pink skin. And then they also often have like ram horn kind of, you know, horns of various sizes.
Are they kind of humanoid or what are they?
Yeah, they're people. They're kind of like devil people. You know, like the devil, he kind of points you, or he holds a trident or a pitchfork, I guess. Okay. It's that kind of vibe. Yeah, you want to toss out a couple just as a teaser?
Let me go through what we got. My friend Dilip Rao, do you know him? He's an actor.
No.
I'd
love to.
He suggested Drow Druid. What's a Drow?
A Drow is a dark elf. They typically live underground and have kind of like black or sometimes navy blue skin, and then like white, like milky white eyes, you know, like glowing white eyes. One of the most favorite or famous D&D characters in history, Driz Doerden or whatever, is a drow. And drow are also the center of a controversy that's been tearing through the D&D world about racism in Dungeons & Dragons, where drow are typically depicted as evil and malicious and cruel. But, you know, having a whole race of sentient creatures that all behaves one way is problematic and echoes racist tropes in society. And so there's a lot of reckoning with that right now.
So Dilip, my buddy, says a drow druid, period. Wyvern rider? What's a wyvern?
A wyvern's like a dragon. It's like a... It's kind of like a dragon, but like whereas a dragon has more like limbs, they often don't have arms, just kind of like back legs and a tail. They're kind of more serpentine, but still, you know, they got wings and they're draconic.
So if I'm a wyvern rider, that means I'm riding this dude around town like that's like I'm a cowboy riding a weird dragon.
Yeah, you'd have to probably, you know, learn how to become a wyvern rider. I don't know if you'd start out with the capacity to ride, because they're a powerful monster, you know. It would be like Charles the Blue Dragon. It's overpowered.
Yeah, well, Charles I rode because I made a saddle out of
Virch skeletons. And also, I had to... Also, I had to... Uh-huh.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Oh, I had to nerf him. He couldn't be around all the time. I had to come up with excuses for him to leave and stuff because you can't just have like a full ass dragon like fucking around. You know, he'd just blast everything.
Right. I didn't know that. I would have kept him around more. No. Derek Mears, our friend from kickboxer fame, and from you know him as the man behind the hockey mask as Jason Voorhees in the most recent Friday the 13th films. He just said two words. I'm assuming he just meant a name. It says Tabaxi Swashbuckler. Is Tabaxi a thing?
A Tabaxi is a cat person. Like a cat,
cat person?
Yeah, and a swashbuckler is a, you know, like a duelist kind of swordsman with flair.
Okay, that's going right up into my the top of the list right now.
Sure.
I might have to look into Tabaxi Swashbuckler.
I can already see the fan art of like a sexy Jeff cat.
I am a sexy
cat. Yeah. It's almost not even fan art, it's just photos.
You and I go to the moon. I think we don't even make it to the countdown. I think you and I are fucking already giving unsolicited HJs like on the launch pad.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'd be I'd be like, I'm actually trying to focus here. You'd be like, come on.
Yes. Yes, T-minus 3, 2, whoa! Queer Beholder. Someone on Twitter named Queer Beholder.
Okay, great. It
says Azamar Warlock. Are you familiar with the words Azamar?
Yeah, so a tiefling is like a devil man, right? And Azamar is more like an angel man, kind of. You know, it's like they have angel divine man. Celestial kind of blood. They, like an angel or celestial is usually formed some sort of sexual union with a human, and their descendants become Azamar.
Okay.
What Azamar was the other
Warlock
word?
Is up there.
Warlock.
Warlock.
And then warlocks
are... So can you be an Azamar? Is Azamar and warlock? Can you be an angel person and a warlock person at the same time?
Yeah, but it's a bit of an interesting conflict because, you know, warlocks typically form contracts with demons or other powerful, unknowable forces like Cthulhu-like beings or whatever, and that gives them the power to shoot lasers.
I'm a little intimidated. I'm a little intimidated in combined with my laziness to be a magic user.
Sure.
Because you got to know a lot of stuff like if you're using spells and all that stuff.
Yeah, warlocks are easier than other magic users, but I would still say, yeah, we might want to not go with magic.
Someone says Owl Ghoul, former town hall aide who turned to dark arts.
I think that's a name, probably.
Yeah, Al Ghul is a name. Let's see what else we got. There's been a few people who've suggested that I play a bard because they want me to sing songs and whatnot.
Bards are great, but they are magic users, so just be aware of that.
But they are magic users?
Yeah, they do spells. They're kind of like a rogue if a rogue was pretty good at spellcasting.
Okay, one Twitter follower, Adrian V, says, from a fellow bard to a bard, let me tell you, play a bard. Bards are the best. A tiefling bard. That's the devilish artiste we need. Is a tiefling bard a viable thing for us?
Sure. Tieflings are, you know, sometimes mistrusted for having fiendish heritage. But, you know, a bard would be able to use that to his advantage or play against type. What if you were a bard, what kind of performance would you engage in, you know? Bards kind of bank on performance.
I would just do bad improv. I would sing with Wayne Brady.
I think an improv bard could be fucking awesome. I've heard of comedian bards or bards that like breakdance. And so it's like you do a breakdance and it's so inspiring that it heals someone or something, you know. But that could be, I think improv would be really funny.
Can I go back to what a tabaxi is?
Catman, yeah.
That's a cat. That's a feline cat.
A
person.
Cat person, yeah, like a humanoid kind of cat.
And what sort of abilities and feats does that like give me?
I don't know. Let me look this up. I'm looking it up.
I really like the idea of swashbuckler because swashbuckler sounds like it might be close to like a rogue. Maybe
it is.
Like,
yeah, I think it might be even a type of rogue.
I kind of want to be a swashbuckler. Because I love pirate movies, Spencer. Do you know this about me? I will watch any pirate movie. I love old school Hollywood pirate films. Good stuff. I like a cling clang, and I like a derring do, and I like a buckle to be swashed.
So what is a cling clang?
Clang clang is the sound of two cutlasses clinging and clinging into each other
of
as borders are being repelled and the mizzen mast is being half railed and the poop deck is being
swabbed.
Fiddlebeaked.
Fiddlebeaked. Swabbed. What is fiddlebeaking? What does fiddlebeaking do?
I think the fiddlebeak is the very front of the boat and the taffrail is the very back of the boat.
I like taffrail. That's a cool word. But it looks like tabaxis have feline agility and cat's claws. So there you go.
Oh, fuck yeah. So Derek Mayers, I mean, this sounds like insider trading, but like it, like a lot of people who I don't know on Twitter have given me very good suggestions, but I'm using my friend and ex-roommate, Derek Mayers. Do you know, I used to live in an apartment or two with Mr. Mayers.
Was that the haunted apartment?
No. I moved into the haunted Traub apartment right after I moved out of the second apartment I lived with Derek Mayers. Derek Mayers, for those of you who do not know who he is, and you must know who he is because he's awesome.
He's an 8 foot tall, hairless man.
He has no hair.
Yeah.
Although I think he's regained some of his hair. He has or had alopecia totalis, which means he's as smooth as whale shit on ice. He's glossy. And that's one of the reasons, aside from his natural charm and agility and kung fu-like skills, he can play a monster in all of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies or Predator movies or Friday the 13th. Because makeup people must love him because they can apply all the latex appliances, like the makeup stuff, without having to shave him because he's smooth. And we used to live in a shit apartment in Koreatown back when it was really dangerous and police were being killed on our doorstep and it was gunfights every night outside. And Derek and I would play Tomb Raider on his PlayStation. Was that the platform that Tomb Raider was on? I think so.
Yeah.
And he would walk around the apartment in his tidy whities. And again, he's 6 foot five-ish, maybe six foot six.
Mm-hmm.
Very pale, no hair to speak of. Walking around in his tidy whities, and he would do a pretty prancer dance. He would look like a pretty prancing pony and ask me if I thought that he was a pretty prancing pony.
Mm-hmm.
We lived together for quite a while. He's a great roommate. Derek, if you want them, I stole your basketball shorts. I still have them. This is quite a long time ago. But I'm just going to make an executive decision here, Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
Tabaxi swashbuckler.
Yeah. I mean, you are an executive, so this all tracks.
Fantastic.
You're definitely dressed like an executive.
We made it easy. Maybe I can go on Twitter right now and say, maybe request names from my tabaxi.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Swashbuckler. Yeah, and also if anybody that's listening wants to come up with concept art so I know what I look like, that would be ideal. Do we want to roll stats today, or do you want to leave this for another day?
I think it could be too cool to actually do it on the show, but I mean, the fact that we already picked your race and class is a huge... we're basically done, I want to say.
We can just finish... Podcast could just stop right now.
Yeah. Been what, like 17 minutes?
Hey, Kevin Day, our producer extraordinaire who's made Harmontown possible and this show possible. I see you over there, Kevin. How you doing, brother?
Doing great. Doing great. I'm really excited. I cannot wait to see your cat swashbuckler.
Isn't
there like a cartoon where there is a cat who is a swashbuckler? Like he's got like a
yeah. Antonio Banderas did Puss in Boots. That's what I'm picturing
for Shrek. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got like the hat, like the buccaneer hat pinned up on one side.
Yep, that's exactly what I was picturing as you described it. Yes.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't want to just mimic that, but
no.
I think with my knowledge of ship stuff. If that's what they call it, I think they do. And adding feline agility, I think that's going to be fun.
Yeah. You could major in ship stuff.
Is there a story behind where you learned so much about ships?
Yes. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's a story. First, I read Moby Dick. And some people have read Moby Dick. Some people have not. Some people have tried and given up. I really liked Moby Dick because I really liked the detail. I liked the minutia of on deck, on ship life, and just about ropes or lines, as they call them, and just like what the carpenter does aboard a ship, and how you catch a whale, how you cut into the blubber. I really liked all the nerdy detail of it all. And then I read almost all. I think I've got three that I haven't read. I think it's about 21 of them, if I'm not mistaken, of Patrick O'Brien's Master and Commander series of books. They made a terrible movie with Russell Crowe. You read the book. The bummer is now you go back and read the books. And now I got a picture Russell Crowe. No. I almost said Russell Brand. Russell Brand would have been a better.
He looks like a pilot.
Master and Commander. Yeah. Well, he does. Who would I cast as the actual captain? Captain Aubrey. Aubrey I would Plaza. Go with Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah.
I'm gonna gender switch it. Aubrey Plaza is the kind of taciturn, emotionally withholding captain of a ship of the line.
I think we can make this.
I think we certainly have a pitch on our hands right now.
Yeah.
But I love those books. But again, you have to read those with a glossary of ship knowledge, because I don't know what a marlin spike is, or what a mizzen mast, or what a fucking, like, now I've forgotten. There's all these little details of what every part of the ship is, and I became really addicted to knowing everything about a ship.
Yeah.
Because when they get into a battle, you got to know that somebody has to clap onto a clue line, Spencer.
It seems very smug, all this terminology. Like, just call it that rope over there. You know, it's like, I think you're already on the ship. You'll know what people are talking about, right? You don't need all this diction.
True, but because there's so many different lines and different riggings, there's standing rigging, there's flying rigging. You got to know which is what. I love movies like mafia movies or like bank heist movies where you learn the craft of a trade, mm-hmm. and there's terminology for stuff. And also I love the superstitions, and sailors maybe are the most superstitious people after baseball players and actors. And
they're more, right?
Well, I grew up doing a play on a baseball field that was aboard a ship. So it's hard for me to differentiate.
Yeah.
But if you whistle on board a ship, you might get thrown overboard.
Wow.
Because whistling means you're whistling up a wind. And if you whistle too loudly, you're basically asking Mother Nature to throw a storm at you and sink your ship. But if you're in the doldrums somewhere and you need some wind because you got a dirty bottom, which means not what you think it means, Spencer.
Okay.
It means you got some fucking seaweed up on your fucking keel, and you got a faster ship on your tail that's going to fucking sink you. You might hear somebody go, gently whistle, meaning give us some fucking wind so we can escape.
Mm-hmm.
Whistle too loud, you're a Jonah, they throw you overboard.
A dirty bottom, huh? What? Would wind help it if your keel was stuck like that?
Well, if you need to escape somebody, and you're in the doldrums, and a cleaner ship is behind you, they're going to sneak up on you and shoot. They're going to bow chase you and cast one across your athwart ships.
I hate when that happens.
Did I just make this podcast? I just ruined our podcast by talking too much about boats.
I think this should be a nautical podcast. All aboard the seven seas. That's happening, if you please. Do you know about these sea shanties, Jeff? The sea shanties that are tearing up TikTok?
I've only known that or witnessed it because of Stephen Colbert's late show. He's been all about the TikTok sea shanty. Was that an actual thing, or did he invent that and that took off?
I don't think he invented it, but there is just, everyone's like, oh, the sea shanties are taking over TikTok. But it's like this one viral TikTok took off with a sea shanty. And here's the thing that pisses me off, Jeff, is that it's not a sea shanty. You understand? It's a ballad. It's a ballad set to the theming of a sea shanty, but it's not a sea shanty. You know what a sea shanty is? It's a work song. It's a song that you use to keep time when a crew of people all has to work rhythmically together, you know, without losing pace. You can't do that with this fucking the sea shanty that's going across TikTok. It's a ballad. No self-respecting crew of, you know, sailors men is ever going to be singing the weller men while they're fucking heaving ho to the mizzenmast or whatever. And, you know, if you tried to start one up, you'd be laughed out of the ship. You'd be laughed off a damn plank, you know, like it's ridiculous. Not a sea shanty. Not even tearing up TikTok. Just one.
So you're saying a sea shanty can't also be a ballad, the ballad of a seaman that went down with his ship or something like that? You can't also do a sea shanty and also work as a sea ballad?
It could, but it would have to be formulated for the purposes of being a sea shanty. It like because that those have special functional requirements that they'd have to hit that it doesn't hit, you know? So if it's not going to keep time in
right,
that
so,
way.
So if you got a bunch of sailors that are, you know, manning the capstan and they're trying to hoist the
mizzenmast. Let's just say it.
I was going to say anchor, but there was a better word for it. It's been a long time since I've read these books. So you want a song that's kind of keeping the beat.
Mm-hmm.
So you're heaving mm-hmm. and you're hoeing and you're yo-hoing and bottle of rumming and you're getting shit done.
And also everyone's kind of, I think everyone's singing it at the same time. Whereas in the Wellerman, it has kind of like a lead voice and then a chorus that everyone sings. So it's almost more like a drinking song or something, you know, but it's not a sea shanty and I will die on this hill of waves. Is that something? Is that a naval term?
A hill of waves. That what you've done is you've become Herman Melville and you've described the sea as mountainous. And that's now you become literary. Look ahead. Look. I know one. You, okay, here. I know one sea. What I think is a sea shanty, but you tell me: is this a ballad, Spencer, or is this a sea shanty?
Now I've become literary.
I was trying to get. I'm like, look ahead, look astern. No, I don't know the chorus. Look ahead, look astern, look a weather and a lee. Blow high, blow low, and so sailed we. I've seen a ship to starboard and a lofty ship a lee as we sail along the coast of high Barbary.
That sounds like a sea shanty, but I can't say for sure without, analyzing the roots.
You came in pretty strong with your delineation between what constitutes shanty versus ballad.
It just gets me so steamed when someone's like, oh, it's time for a shanty, and they bust out a fucking ballad formulated to resemble a shanty. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, get the fuck out of here with that shit.
Is it too late for me to be a swashbuckling bard, or like does Tabaxi preclude me being also a bard? Or
you could be a bard. Anyone can swashbuckle, but swashbuckler specifically in the rules is a type of rogue. But I mean, you know, being a bard wouldn't be preclude you from swashbuckling. You know, as long as you're buckling those swashes or swashing those buckles.
Is it possible to add like a what do they call it? Like a cantrips?
Cantrips.
I have like cantrips where I can have like a bardish kind of thing where I can, if I do break into song as a tabaxi swashbuckler, that my song might have some bardish powers. Is that crossing too many lines?
It's crossing a lot of lines, but that might be something we can think about. I'm not prepared to rule it out just yet, but we'd have to find out some way to balance it or make that something that is attainable over time rather than something.
Well, how about this? Instead of me being a bard, I think I do want to stick with Tabaxi Swashbuckler because that just makes me happy. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I like that I'm a Puss in Boots swashbuckling kitty cat. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'll just really go for high charisma so that if I do sing a song, maybe my charisma can carry the day in a pickle.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, your charisma might reach supernatural status, not unlike a bard. But yeah, I think a swashbuckler is basically just a rogue. But you know how rogues have a sneak attack where they pop out of nowhere and go, ha ha, and, you know, hamstring you or whatever.
They now call that... They don't even call that snake attack anymore. They call it bone weaveling.
we're freaking changing the vernacular. You know, we're shifting scapes. It's a whole scape shift.
Bone weevil kicked so much dick around the fucking multiverse that to call anybody a rogue is to just to be a lesser bone weevil. Mm-hmm. And if you sneak attack somebody, you got bone weaveled.
Yeah. You've been made to leak, as Bone Weevil might say.
Boots of Mad Hops, one of the greatest things you ever gave me.
Oh yeah. I'm a real genius, and if I don't perform to expectations, that's the problem of the audience, and they're just not understanding it right. And actually, I'm doing it as good as I've ever done, and I'm not out of practice. So just keep that in mind.
Well, Spencer, we've been on the air for how long now? I'm going to crack open what's left of my Fernet Branca, and I'm going to splice the main brace. Another nautical term. Look it up. I'm splicing the main brace right now.
That seems like weaving like a rope into a more important rope.
That's exactly what it is. The main brace would be the most important standing line on the thing that holds the main mast up. And it's the biggest, thickest rope. And if a cannonball should hit your main brace, you're in danger of the main mast falling over and sinking the ship. Or you'd certainly be dead in the water. To splice the main brace is the most difficult task of your bosuns and bosun's mates and your best rope splicers. Mm-hmm. And it's a very difficult task. And if they can do that, the captain would say, splice the main brace, which means the entire company of the ship gets to have a second serving of grog. So if you're at a party and you go, gentlemen or ladies, let's splice the main brace, that means you've bought everybody around.
So it's so difficult that they don't even use it regularly. Like to refer to the actual act.
It's a difficult. Yeah, it's more about like any difficult task that got done on the ship. That was cause for the captain to go, fuck it. We just evaded danger because some of the people on ship did some miraculous hard work. Mm-hmm. It's time to splice the main brace. So, L'chaim.
So Jeff is drinking, and Fernet Branca is a sponsor of That Happens Pod. Fernet Branca, were we involved in Vichy France? Don't ask. Don't ask.
I think we should maybe re-air the commercial that we did the first time we tried this.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
We asked the question, because I love Fernet Branca, even though it tastes like coffin juice. where was Fernet Branca during fascist Italy? And it's been rumored that Hitler drank Fernet Branca, so I'm assuming Mussolini must have sent him some. And we don't know really where the brothers Branca were during the wars.
There's this popular shaving company that's like, oh, we're made with German made razors from a German razor factory that's been operational since like 1910. And it's like, okay, so they were supplying razors to Nazis? Good, excellent brag.
And also, they were probably doing something different.
Yeah, a different
the same
use
way that
of their
Bavarian
steel.
Motorworks. Yeah, Bavarian Motorworks BMW makes cars now. They used to make engines for the Luftwaffe. When the Treaty of Versailles or whatever it was said that you can't rearm Germany, they started making cars. But the BMW logo is basically a spinning propeller, which is basically like, oh, we'll be making planes again in 2 weeks. We'll see you in 1939.
You just, you know, declared the Blitzkrieg and we'll be there. That's cool. I never thought about the fact that it was a propeller. That kind of, I don't know, that makes it the design a little cooler looking to me. It's like a whirling blade.
Yeah, that's, I really have like a fascination with aviation and like military aviation. It's a bummer that all that technology, and because how many years was it between the Wright brothers and warfare flight, like 20 years, not even that, 15 years. We had people up there with machine guns shooting people down over France and Germany, and it was only 30, 40 years before there was a jet engine. Like that's how quickly we went from two dudes flying a kite with a thing on the front and it went 50 feet to jet powered aircraft, and then only a little bit later we're on the moon. It's a bummer that the military has to propel such awesome technology and we can't do it for fun shit.
Yeah, well, obviously you can tell, you know, just once you have flight, it's like, oh, of course, this is going to give me supreme advantage over, you know, anyone else in Warfare. But wasn't the problem, or among the problems, wasn't it just that people were like, you can't fucking fly? That's not a thing that can be done. And so, like, the second they're, you know, the Wright brothers or whatever made everyone look like assholes and be like, actually, you can. They were like, oh, shit. Oh, no. We got to get on board with this real quick. And so maybe there's a bit of, like, compensation, you know, happening.
Certainly. Yeah, I really... Do you ever go to like an old air museum, like, and see like old, you know, military or vintage aircraft? It's like it's so cool, and that you realize that the instant humans make anything fun, it's turned into a weapon.
Yeah, I mean, look at social media now. It, you know, is a Nazi printer, basically.
Exactly. I mean, but didn't we know the day that Twitter started? Didn't we really kind of in our muscular DNA some part of our deep recesses of our brains know that Twitter would be weaponized and end up destroying everybody?
Not instantly. To me, it was like that tweet by, I want to say it was like Sheldon Adelson or whatever, who's like a politician who tweeted like, love to go down to the Dairy Queen and get that you know what. And I was like, oh no, we're doomed.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
And you know what that you know what was.
Dairy Queen?
Yeah, like a blizzard probably. Actually, I don't know. It's not clear. But yeah.
I mean, why does my mind instantly go to something dirty?
No, go I think that's Dairy Queen and get that. I'm sure that's what everyone thought, is that he's like getting a hand job, yes, in the bathroom or something.
It sounds like somebody's milkshake is bringing all the boys to the yard.
Exactly. And he was signaling over Twitter. It's like a covert, you know, wink. But, you know, we joke, but of course, the podcast is brought to you today by Dairy Queen. Dairy Queen, try our burgers. We serve them. For some reason, we still think that you might want to eat burgers that we prepare. I'm just reading the copy.
When I'm thinking Dairy Queen, I'm thinking beef products.
Yeah, give me chicken tenders and fries. Why else would I be going to a Dairy Queen? It's right there in the name.
Also, as always, Spencer, our show, That Happens, is brought to you by Old Man Crittenden's Jasmine-Infused Root Beer.
I'm Old Man Crittenden, and my voice is different than it was last time because I've been drinking a new formula, now with rosemary. It gives just the hint and bite of spices and herbs that you remember from your mama's chicken recipes in the comfort of this beverage that I've formulated for you. Try some today, and remember, in every bottle, there's 3 teeth.
Old Man Crittenden's Jasmine-Infused Root Beer. This isn't your mama's jasmine infused root beer.
No, it's Old Man Crittenden's. Use the promo code That Happens. Just for no reason. Just use it. They'll give us more money. That's why we're doing this. This whole thing's a cash grab.
Because this whole thing is absolutely, we don't even care if we have an audience. This is simply about Spencer and I making that sweet Old Man Crittenden's jasmine infused root beer swag money. We're also sponsored by Fernet Branca. We're sponsored by Mountain Dew Major Melon.
Oh yeah. I'm personally powered by, you know, like you go to the website and it says like powered by whatever. I'm honestly powered by Major Melon at this point. I had one at the beginning of this podcast. It's delicious. Tastes like a damn Jolly Rancher.
That sounds like a nightmare. I had made you a promise that I flaked out on. I knew I was forgetting something today. I was going to go get myself a Mountain Dew Major Melon and try some because I wanted to combine it with our other sponsor, Tito's Vodka. I was going to make a Tito melon.
Yeah. A vodka melon. I'll get you some. I think it's actually hard to find in stores, so I'll have to bring you some.
I hope it's hard to find.
This is a fun factoid that I love bringing out. But did you know Mountain Dew was originally made as a Jack Daniels mixer? That's why it was created.
Well, Mountain Dew is a nickname for moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, whiskey, like a Jack Daniels from Tennessee would be also known as like if you're making your own whiskey,
right,
pills, that would be Mountain Dew.
But
has anybody ever tried Mountain Dew mixed with?
Oh, I have. It works with in a way that you wouldn't expect, because Mountain Dew, it's like has a sharp kind of rough flavor. You know, it's got all this citrus kind of bite to it. And Jack Daniel's has just a bunch of smoke and kind of like really bitter flavors. But somehow it's like, you know, like what did Rocky say is like, you know, Monica, she got gaps and I got gaps, but together we got no gaps or whatever. Like that's what it is. It like they really lock into place and kind of smooth out the whole experience. And then you throw up and it's horrible because it's like a heaping, you know, an amount of sugar that's obscene. I think Mountain Dew has like more sugar than like most other sodas. But you just get like a ton of sugar in Jack Daniel's, and it is kind of, I don't know. It's wrong and it's right, you know, at the same time. It's very strange, but I used to drink that kind of regularly until I like threw up and I was like, I'm done drinking.
Now you said also, Spencer, that recently you've been getting into food, that you're on a culinary tip right now, or at least a Epicurean kind of vibe.
Yeah, I mean, to kind of fill out this podcast, I thought maybe we can do segments of like aborted podcasts ideas that I've had. So I've always wanted to do a food podcast or even like a hot chicken podcast, because Nashville hot chicken is like my favorite way to absolutely destroy my lower intestines. You know, like there's a lot of competition there for things that are just absolutely going to give me IBS. But hot chicken's definitely up there. I wanted to do a podcast where I just tried different hot chickens and talk about them and rate them and stuff. But I don't know, you know, it never really materialized. But that's kind of my food kick. You ever have hot chicken or vegan hot chicken?
Well, no, because I became vegetarian before hot chicken was introduced to the mm-hmm. West Coast. I'm sure if I had grown up in Nashville, I would have had hot chicken at some point.
Right by my house, there's a vegetarian burgers and on chicken sandwiches place, and they have a pretty good Nashville hot chicken sandwich. So you might want to try that. It's like, I can't remember the name of the company. Say again.
Yeah, I was asking you what the name of that place was, because I would like to try a vegetarian hot chicken.
That place is called Blazin' Burgers. I was just trying to think of the chicken. Like, the chicken is this special kind of, like, fake chicken formulation. You know how there's, like, Impossible Meat and stuff? This kind of fake chicken has its own name. It tastes a lot like satay or whatever, or maybe, like, textured, like, tofu. But I don't know. It's really good. It tastes, to me, it tastes like, not like chicken so much as, like stuffing, you know, like Thanksgiving stuffing, kind of like a savory bread pudding kind of situation, but it's like so good.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, so that's by my house. I'll bring you one of those and a major melon.
Yeah, I'll bring the Tito's. You bring the Dr. Pepper major melon, and then you can carry me to the diabetes ward at Children's Hospital down the street.
Oh yeah. I'll haul you over in my new car with the cheese stain. My cheese stained car. Sharp-eared listeners might remember that from Harmontown, the podcast. And speaking of Harmontown, we're doing a Harmontown reunion show. I don't know when this is airing or coming out, but if you're listening to it, you be warned that, you know, we're doing a Harmontown reunion show on the 21st of February, right? Get your tickets now, because they're selling fast. And I don't know how the internet works, but can the tickets sell out? Is that a thing that can happen?
Kevin, let's can pretend they sell out, or is it come one, come all?
Let's pretend it can.
Right now,
let's
we're not entirely certain. There's going to be a limit at some point. We just don't know what that limit is yet. So hopefully we don't hit it. But if you're worried, buy your tickets now.
Come break the internet with us.
Yeah, go to Harmontown.com to get all your info for it. It's going to be me, Spencer, Dan, Rob Schraub, and our lovely guests, Kumail Nanjiani and Emily Gordon, who I know that most of you Harmontown fans would know this already, but Emily is the reason that Harmontown ever happened, because she saw a very sad Dan Harmon walking down the streets of Hollywood after being fired off of his own TV show, and said, hey, do you want to do a podcast in a back room of a comic book store? And Harmontown was born. And then only like several weeks later, we met a bearded genius, a culinary expert, swashbuckler in his own right, Spencer Crittenden, and the rest has been podcast history. And then Kevin Day came along fairly early too, right?
Yeah, about 100 episodes in.
And then how did you I should know this. What made you become so involved, Kevin? Like
he was a shadowy
being a listener.
He was a shadowy Batman-like figure who swooped in to save Dan, who is being cyber accosted on the streets. Is that an accurate characterization?
I mean, yeah, I talked about this in Harmontown once. I mean, I knew Dan before this point, but yeah, at one point somebody had hacked into Dan's iTot account and was trying to sell it. Like all of his contact information, and not just him, but like a whole bunch of other people as well. Like, you know, half of Hollywood got hacked at one point. That was around the same time, like those pictures of like Jennifer Lawrence leaked and things like that. And
Celebgate.
Yeah. So I got to talk to Dan some more about that too. And while we were actually like in the middle of talking about how do I secure my phone, he was like, you know, I've always wanted to do a video version of Harmontown. How do we make that happen? And then that's where we started.
Is this strange internet person who swooped in to kind of tell me that shady dealings are happening on his travels throughout the internet the perfect person to go into business with? I think so. And it turned out it was.
It worked pretty well, yeah. So yeah, I came in, that's where we turned it from just a podcast to making it a video production and things like that. And that worked out really good timing because the film was happening at the same time. So yep, that's how I started.
Damn, the film. Man, you could watch us in a fucking movie.
And also, like, I won't even allude too specifically to what it is because people will try to connect some weird dots. Spencer, Kevin one day called me up and alerted me that I needed to be on guard because of my own potential vulnerability because of a loose connection to somebody in the news that you did not want to be connected to. And it turns out nothing ever happened because I didn't know this person at all. But Kevin just strangely has connections in the dark. You call it the underweb?
I call it the internet.
The internet, yes. So like Kevin's just kind of there to protect us all from a potential hazard.
Yeah. Kevin actually contacted me, and I've never even told this story, but Kevin actually contacted me and said that I could actually refinance my home at a new rate. And he said it could save me thousands of dollars in the long run, you know? So
yeah, I'm sorry, Spencer. You know? I'm so sorry. Well,
he also told me that my social security number had been compromised and to call this number.
We have a special guest here. We have a special guest. Oh, look, it's Tom Selleck. You know, this isn't my first time at the rodeo. You know, reverse mortgages thing. I'm not trying to steal your home. I've been to the rodeo at least twice. I would say this would be just spitballing my third rodeo.
Whoa.
Reverse mortgage. I'm Tom Selleck.
So, Tom Selleck, if you're not trying to steal my house, then can you explain that large house-sized fish net, butterfly net that you're holding?
What is...
He ran away. What the fuck? You ask him one question, he crumbles.
Yeah, exactly. I think the more light you shine on Tom Selleck's weird involvement with reverse mortgages, the fucking less he wants to be involved.
I honestly just thought that was for an unrelated purpose.
Tom Selleck, I have a bad habit of getting up and flipping through the various cable news channels to see who's reporting what and how.
Mm-hmm.
I will watch CNN and then MSNBC and then Fox News at the top of the hour to see who is all inflamed about one thing and who's completely ignoring the other thing. One thing's for sure, mesothelioma is coming to get you, everybody.
Oh yeah.
You can make a lot of money by being a mesothelioma lawyer.
I was thinking about getting mesothelioma, just you know.
Well,
to kind of be
I know
involved.
A place that you get a free book. You get a free book.
What's the book?
It's about mesothelioma. I think it gives you mesothelioma.
The book is just Moby Dick.
Do you know what they call it if you get cancer at the rearmost mast of a sailing vessel?
Taft rail cancer.
Mesothelioma.
You may be entitled to I don't know what.
Should we change that happens to just nautical fun bits?
I think
it's going to be a lot of nautical tidbits.
I think that could be a good theme. We got to get some.
And look astern, look a weather and a lee.
Once was a sail that set to sea. Ship by the name of the Wellerman was he. I don't know how the song goes.
This is not a sea shanty. There once was an Indian maid who said she wasn't afraid to lie on her back in the old bear shack and let the cowboys tickle her crack. But one day to her surprise, it gets dirty after that.
I think it was already a problem before that.
I told the story on Harmontown before about when I was performing at Disneyland and I played a cowboy in Frontierland.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a young lady that played Pocahontas. She was one of the walk around princesses. And the gal that played Pocahontas was almost disturbingly attractive. Like for me, a little over the top. More fathers got pictures with Pocahontas than their children because she was just like kablamo. She was really beautiful and like va-va-voom. And she came into our dressing room one time. It was me and two other actors, two other guys who did the sketch comedy thing. Have I told Dispenser before? Have you heard this?
This sounds vaguely familiar, but I think we should retread all these stories no matter what. Yeah, like, I think it's a new podcast. So like, who cares? You know, so, maybe we get different listeners.
So beautiful, incredibly, like voluptuous Pocahontas young lady comes into the room. And I was too terrified of her to actively flirt with her. I think she was kind of maybe putting it out like that she was kind of flirting with me, like maybe I should ask her out, but I was just chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And then she leaves. And my friend Joe in the show, who wore a hat, not during the show, but like in real life, that said Aunt B on it, because he really did look like Aunt B from the Andy Griffith Show, gay gentleman who looked a lot like Aunt B. And Pocahontas, the actress, leaves our dressing room and he sings that song. And Kevin, can we bleep something? Or do we have the technology to bleep if I want to bleep?
Yes.
Could you self bleep?
Okay. Because I'm going to say the word at some point. So Kevin, when I say bleep the word.
Well, you're British, so I think it's okay.
Because the word comes into the song. This is not a song that I wrote. I only report this to you as a journalist.
Can we just bleep this whole
distractingly
song?
Attractive. Just one long bleep. There once was an Indian maid who said she wasn't afraid to lie on her back in the old bear shack and let the cowboys tickle her crack. And one day, to her surprise, her belly began to rise, and out from her beep came a little young runt with his ass between his eyes. And we did not laugh. We did not cheer. We simply looked at my friend Joe and said, okay, that's the worst song I've ever heard in my life. Like, he goes, I don't know how I know this song. I was like, yes, but now I'll never be able to forget it. We're certainly cutting this entire segment out of the show.
Well, yeah, to me, it's interesting that you flag just the word as the problematic part of the song. Like, that to me is probably the most acceptable part of the whole thing.
I think the whole thing is wrong. I think the whole thing is no good. However, this is part of the rich tapestry of American folk music.
Yeah. And we
that,
just,
that
you
it
know,
wasn't afraid to, to,
this
it wasn't
is an
afraid
educational
to tickle
podcast.
The crack of
this
the problems of the day. Yeah. This is
in a lot of ways,
I'm looking
this
at Kevin,
podcast
I'm looking at Kevin on the Zoom
America.
Right now, and he already looks nervous. He's already looking for the exits.
I saw him writing notes. He was writing edit notes. See, the thing is, I think this would be great. This would be a great bit, but I just don't know about like as a first episode bit. Like maybe episode 10, I think we could absolutely get away with this.
No, I think we certainly cut that entire thing out.
Okay. Or, maybe we could just bleep the whole song.
I think we leave everything that we've already said, including what I'm saying right now, and bleep so much of it that nobody knows anything that we're talking about.
I think that's actually really funny. And then, but maybe, yeah.
And then for special VIP subscribers, they get to hear the song in episode 10.
That's like a $30 Patreon tier to hear that song.
If you want to hear the song that we all agree shouldn't have been sung in the first place. yes, that is a VIP tier. Yeah, Kevin, we leave it to you to bleep the fuck out of that song. And don't bleep fuck, because I want people to know that it was worse than that.
And I think, you know, that's there's a beautiful sentiment. And it's brought to you by Fernet Branca. Fernet Branca, we commissioned this song.
I drink Fernet and I want to drink more. I drink Fernet and I'll never be the same again.
Jeff is drinking Fernet Branca, brought to you by Italy. Italy, we kick Sicily into the Mediterranean Sea.
It did. Sicily kind of looks like Italy wiped off some poop off their boot.
Yeah, like a rumpled kind of scrap. Italy, it's okay to be racist against us. Italy, if you're looking for a target of casual, ironic racism but don't want to commit fully, try our country.
Italy, the stereotypes, they are accurate.
Italy.
I was in a cab. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I want to hear more.
Italy, because Irish racism is just not, doesn't hit the same anymore.
Italy, if your car breaks down, nobody's coming because they're busy fucking or smoking somewhere. I love Italy so much. If I could transport myself anywhere right now, I would just be in almost any part of Italy. Maybe not Naples. Naples is a little rough around the edges. But I love Italy so much. The people are fantastic. The food is the best food in the universe. And the women, have you been to Italy, Spencer?
No.
Treat yourself. Picture a world where you're allowed to get on a plane without dying of disease and then go to Italy. Okay. Just go to Florence and then just look around and there'll just be a gal going by on a Vaporetto or a Vespa, not a Vaporetto, the Lambretta, Vespa, with a scarf, and you just fall in love with everybody there. It's sexy there.
Yeah, it seems like a really cool place, but, you know, I also hate Naples, so I guess that's like, this podcast hates Naples. And Naples-style pizza, I think, is probably bad.
No! The Napolitano pizza, that's the only way pizza should be made is Napolitano style.
No, too wet. I want a big, thick Chicago pizza. Kevin knows what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, Chicago's love that deep dish pizza, and they don't love any other kind of pizza, and they don't resent being associated with it.
Kevin, are you a deep dish fellow?
I just like pizza of all kind. But yeah, from Chicago, if you don't order the deep dish, you get thrown out of the city.
Do you want to talk about Chicago tavern style pizza, Kevin? Do you know about this? Thin crust Chicago tavern style pizza. That's the real pizza of Chicago.
Yes, I do. I enjoy
Have
that
you had
too.
It?
Yes. There are a few
What's
places
it like?
By there. It's good. It's the crust is different than like a New York style thin, and you know, everybody around here has their own specialties. That's actually what I had for dinner tonight. So yeah.
He's so Chicago and he had it already.
Is it the graham crackery crust style that you get like at a I'm trying to think of what's the really famous, like not Uno or Due or you get it's thin crust, but it's still got the crackery crust.
Yes. Yeah. And everybody has a double dough version of it here as well, where they basically just take two crusts on top of each other, but before they're baked. And somehow it's still a thin crust, but it's chewy and crackery and flaky and all that. Yeah.
Man, that sounds like it kicks ass.
I'm having homemade pizza tonight at Robbie Fox's house. He's making me.
Whoa.
Or actually, Donna Fox is making me. Robbie and I are going to eat.
Is she making Neapolitan style pizza?
I don't know what her her attack is on the pizza. But again, like Kevin said, I like pizza. You just give me pizza, I'll eat crappy pizza. I will eat store-bought pizza, Oh, Kevin.
People who are watching this, not listening to this, this is what I'm talking about here. This is...
Holy shit.
Yeah. That's, so it's kind of a double. How would you describe that?
I would say it's bready. Doughy, maybe.
It looks like three pizza crusts kind of ran into some toppings. There's a bunch of sausage and peppers and whatnot.
But they're three Holy extremely smoke. Thin, so like it all adds up to kind of like a normal thickness of pizza, or maybe a bit thicker than normal.
Yeah.
You also start cut with like into squares, right? Isn't that a corner piece of like a square cut pizza?
Yeah, it's got to be square cut to be Chicago style.
Did you make this at the crib, or did you order this from somewhere?
Ordered it.
Fantastic. Where from? May we ask? Let's. We have a new sponsor.
Papa Savarino's, which actually is a tiny chain of like 10 stores around me.
Papa Savarino's. Hey, Mama Savarino, it's me, your husband, Papa Savarino. Bienvenuto e buongiorno e buonasera.
I want
a divorce. What I'm trying to say is I want a divorce.
Oh, no. I don't want a divorce.
Okay, well, my lawyer is going to call you tomorrow.
You signed a prenup.
I know. It's the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. You know the only mistake I didn't make was putting too much dough in my pizza. People love the too much dough.
Try our pizza today.
Papa Zaffarino, if you can still feel your right arm after eating one slice, it's free.
So I just gotta put this out there that on the Zoom I muted the mic so I could fart, but I'm pretty sure that the mic still picked it up on the record.
I think so. I heard that.
That could be a fun Easter task egg for Kevin to, you know, like a fun surprise for Kevin in the edit.
It's a fun Easter egg.
That's a $50 Patreon tier to hear.
At the $50 level, you can hear Spencer fart on mic.
And of course, the $50 tier also includes the famous Indian song. but we're so what we should figure out a way to wrap up episodes, huh? Like, you know, on Harmontown, Dan would always break into a rap or something. We need something like that.
Yeah, but I always found that was just so perfunctory and compulsory that it never seemed honest. Not never, just sometimes it seemed kind of forced.
Sure. I feel like I would say that sometimes it felt like you forced it.
Yeah, because I wanted to go.
Yeah. No,
because,
I get it.
Because the show would have been going for 2 hours and 5 minutes. And I would, basically, if I could just make the sound of a clicker or a blinker on a car, like make it sound like I'm looking for an off-ramp.
Yeah.
Because can we all leave?
Well, I do want to bust into my famous and will certainly be long-running news segment. Is that cool? Can we do that?
Yes.
All right. So do we need a song for that? Maybe we can. If you have a song for the news corner, drop us a line at thathappenspod@gmail.com. That could be fun. Or don't. You know, who cares? I don't care. Let's give up. Let's stop recording. No, but okay. Do you have a song we could use for, or what would a song, maybe like a ticker tape kind of.
Beep, 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 news time, it's Spencer's time for news.
That was so good. That's right, it's news time, and so in today's developments, the Nazis are at it again. So be careful out there. And that was me with the news.
Beep, 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 beep. That was Spencer's time for news. And now it's we're gonna go to our eye in the sky, Spencer, with traffic.
Well, it looks like everything's nice and clear on the 5 South. It looks like we got a bit of traffic on the 101 because it is, you know, the 101. That's just how it is. You know, folks at home might understand. It looks like on the 134 is actually pretty clear. So that might be a fun route for you. And look out on the 70. On the 70, it looks like there's a large 50-foot man sunbathing on the 3 and 4 lanes. So that could be a bit of fun or a bit of of trouble, depending on your perspective. But yeah, try and stay safe out there. Remember, don't text while driving. Back to you, Jeff.
Beep, 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 beep. Spencer's time for traffic. And then we're going to go to Spencer Crittenden for Hollywood Beat.
Ooh, it's Hollywood Spencer. I'm coming in on the Walk of Fame, baby, and we're seeing what the stars are doing, all the jeers and jonts on Hollywood's famous square. It looks like I see Perez Hilton, who had two bags under his arms, and each bag was carrying a small child. Just absolutely hemorrhaging blood from their head. So looks like some method acting, getting into his famous role on the upcoming Child Toucher on Hollywood Moments. Back
beep,
to
beep,
you.
Beep, 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 Spencer on Hollywood Beat. And final news item, we got Spencer Crittenden, our resident chess guru. I understand the last move that we made in our chess game, and I know our fans have been following along. We were nearing the end of the middle game, going towards the end game, and it was Black's move. Do you have a move for us, Spencer?
I think we gotta go with Queen's Knight to K4 as part of our kind of ongoing movement to set up the Queen's Gambit, which is a real chess move, and it's really important. And first popularized by Elizabeth Harmon. In the Queen's Gambit, but it turns out to actually be a stunning two-pronged attack that has absolutely devastated opponents from Bobby Fischer to that one Russian dude. So, stay tuned to see if we can pull that off. It's taken the chess world by storm, almost as much as weird little kids with like Indiana Jones costumes. Back to you,
and
Jeff.
You can see the new podcast about Spencer's new chess podcast called Elizabeth Harmontown.
Oh. So,
oh,
yeah,
shit.
I don't know.
Hey, watch this, Spencer. I'm going to blow your mind right now. I'm going to blow your mind. Because I don't know if I'm a comptroller anymore. I don't know what my title is. I know that I might be a swashbuckling kitty cat at some point. But I'm going to do something that I think might impress you.
Okay.
That's the end of the show. That's all you got to do. All you got to do is say that's
shit.
The end of the show. And then we roll some credits. And Spencer, you take out some of those paper towels in the background. And Kevin eats his
his giant pizza
roll of bread.
that looks like a tampon.
You could take that pizza and actually like use that as a shillelagh and beat somebody down with it.
Pizza weighs probably 20 pounds. Yeah.
Okay. All right, everybody. This is from your lovely Spencer Crittenden's and your Kevin Days and Jeff Davis's. We appreciate you being here. I don't know exactly what happened, but I know that whatever happened, it was...
That. Is that something? I don't know. Check us out. Do us That Happens Pod on all the socials. Standard podcast stuff. Rate and review. Whatever the fuck. Shut up. Go away. We're done. We're done with your ass.
And check out Harmontown reunion show February 21st. Go to harmontown.com. And if you want to see me on a show, we're doing Who's Live Anyway. Go to whosliveanyway.com to find out what we're doing. And other than that, we will see you on the flip-flop.